What is your brand? What is a brand? It's not just a logo and a tagline. We're breaking it down today so you can successfully and intentionally build your brand to build your business. Today, right here, right now, on Air Brands Live.
Oh,
what is going
continue.
On, guys? I mean, Mr.
The music
Cabral
should continue.
Is very excited today because we are talking branding. This
I
guy
am.
Lights up
well,
when we mention branding.
I think Josh is more excited than I am.
He's
well, not because of not because of the branding, because of that. You know, while the theme song's
are
playing,
you just
I'm
jiving
like,
out to that. Yeah, you like that?
That's
getting
that's
your groove on.
Isn't that branding?
This is how I dance.
Say.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, the audio plays a role. Everything. So let's jump off, Mr. Cabral, as a branding expert of a very long time. Oh,
spit take
number one.
What is branding? What is a brand? Let's all get on the same page for this conversation.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, brand is not a logo. It's part of the whole, right? So people often think, oh, yeah, I need branding. And like, oh, let's get that logo designer. Let's go to Fiverr.
Create
a brand. It's not that simple. So, you know, the way I love to define it, and there's many different ways because you could brand it or define it as, you know, what's a brand for a corporation? What's a brand for a mid-sized to small-sized business? What's a brand for a personal brand, just a solopreneur, right? So when it comes to a solopreneur, small business owners such as ourselves, I'd like to call it reputation. It's not your brand. It's your reputation. It's how people perceive you when you walk in the room. Josh Carey just walked in the room. He's a stand-up guy. I do business. I shake hands with that guy. That's your brand. And you have to treat it as such. I also like to talk. That's one thing. All right. So I know our listeners. And
yeah.
Bake that into your minds. It's your reputation. Okay. Mm-hmm. How you carry yourself. You know, we were talking about glasses, beards, hair, no hair, you know, dye your hair, no dye your hair, whatever it is. That is your brand as well.
Your digital outfit.
Your digital dress code.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
No worries. So yeah, it's I'm like,
you'll be getting a letter from the lawyer. Right.
Exactly.
Yes. Trademark, folks. If you ever use the word digital dress code, we've let everyone know that we
royalties.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms of like a larger business, so you've gone beyond midsize, you're getting into the corporate sort of realm. You got, you know, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of employees. At that point, it starts to go into culture and experience. So culture from the internal perspective, right? You want to create a brand where people want to be a part of it. People love to not just consume Disney products and wear it and participate in their parks and movies, but they want to work for Disney. They want to go through their educational. So Disney has their own college where you can intern and learn from them with the hopes of someday having a career in Disney. Why? Because they've created a culture that people want to be a part of. People completely align with and like a religion want to bake it into their everyday lives. I know a lot of people that go to Disney, you know, land, world, wherever, every single year, and they don't have kids, by the way.
Yes. That was shocking to me when I heard people, people do that. I was like, wait, adults alone? Like, what?
yeah, exactly. But that is a brand. We're talking about the most powerful brand, right? Probably right. Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's from a whole, and I could keep going on and on here.
I love
Tom,
the idea. I think that, you know, so, you know, very simply, I think it's the reputation that precedes us, right? And then when you get large enough, it's the culture that's built around your customers and your audience. I think that's a really great way to look at it. But you know, you alluded to it before. A lot of people knee jerk, they start a business, they launch a podcast, and they think, all right, we need a quote brand. Let's go and we need a logo. Yeah. And that's the first thing they think, we need a logo. But logo should not really be the first thing in the branding exercise, right? I mean, really what you want to have are kind of core fundamental values of your business. Like, what's your message going to be? What is your voice going to sound like? And then you can create your visual branding to match that, right? Is that kind of the better way to do it, you think?
Yeah, I think when people come to us for branding, for logo, and I want to tell a really quick story here about branding and where that term
comes from. You're on the clock. Start.
Yeah, yeah.
Flip the head timer.
Yeah, yeah. Click the head. Put your hand up when you need me to stop here, because, you know, I'll go on forever. And I do want to get to, you know, I'm going to pull in Josh here. I'm going to need a little help. But the term brand, for those of you who don't know, the history behind that is, if you go back in the days in Texas, when there were, still are, you know, cowboys wrangling cows, and there's territories, right? There's space, there's roam, there's space to roam free, and cows would oftentimes wander, meander, whatever, and graze on other people's properties. So what the cowboys would do and the farmers would do is they would literally brand their cows and their cattle so that they can say, hey boy, that is mine, and people could, hey, yep, I see it. That is yours. So ownership, right? Ownership and identify and have, and being able to identify what is yours was really the key and the reason behind branding. So then what happened is we adopted the term to brand ourselves and brand our companies so that people can identify what was ours and who we are and how we distinguish ourselves from others.
That's great. That's a great story. I'm glad that you did take the time to bring that up. That's really solid. So, you know, what you talked about, before it gets to that visual, you need to have, like, who are you going to be, right? And that comes down to what you stand for. And like you said, your reputation is not necessarily part of it is what you look like, and it's driven by what you look like, but it's also how you act and how you behave and how you sound. And that all comes from, like, what is the core message of your business, whether you're a solopreneur, whether you're, you know, a growing company, but, like, particularly when we're talking to our podcaster friends here who want to have a brand for their podcast, they need to know what their voice is going to be and what their message is going to be. And who better to talk about that than Mr. Carey here?
Well, thank you. What's interesting, Eric, that you said was tying the word reputation to brand. I mean, that is just so opening. And then even taking it another step further to culture. As you were talking about brand and how you get one and what it means and how you use it, recently it was put into perspective for me, the word culture. I think one of our keynotes at PodMax even reiterated this, that you... a company's culture, you don't have to try to create one. One already exists, whether you are actively or consciously or deliberately creating a culture. A culture exists already. It just matters if you're nurturing it, if you're intentional about setting the right culture. And couldn't the argument be made that brand works in a similar way, right? Whether you're actively, you coming into the spotlight, you are defined by a reputation, a personal culture, and perhaps in such a brand.
I think 100%. And everybody has a brand, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you have a personal brand, whether you're building a business, whether you're like a sales rep or someone who has a social presence, you have a brand, you have a reputation that precedes you. And too many people in business, in their podcast, in anything, are just letting their brand happen. They're not intentionally setting themselves up for success by taking the time to define who they want to be known as and how they want to be seen. And I think everyone has a brand, whether it's intentional or not, is the question. And so what I wanted us to dive into today is, how can we intentionally create a brand, a reputation, a culture around our podcast, around our business, around ourselves, so that we're set up for success? Success being, like, you know, taking ourselves to the next level and growing to achieve the goals that we set out for ourselves. So when we want to set those things intentionally, I think it starts with, you know, what do you want to be known for, and finding that message? Because if you just show up and turn on your mic and just kind of babble about whatever was in the news this morning or whatever's on your mind, your message is not going to be consistent people don't know how to categorize you in their brain, right? Like if 1 week we're talking about podcasts and then next week we're talking about, you know, Tony Robbins personal tips. And then the next week we're talking about recipes. And then the next week, you know, if we're talking about different things all the time, and I'm just rattling off what I see on my bookshelf, by the way.
It's like, that's great. But I'd like to borrow that recipe book, yeah, by the way. You need to ask you.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, when you want to be known for something, you have to be consistent so that people know where to place you in their brain. Right. And so how to associate you with certain categories. And that's how people think. And, you know, so it comes down to, I think, you know, first breaking down what is it that you want to be known for? And then how do you want to sound and be consistent? If you show up 1 week and you're trying to be funny, and the next week you show up and you're deadpan serious, and then the next week you come out and you sound like a monster truck rally, which for a great example of that, check out the Podmax podcast for the new audio drops today. But that's part of it too, is the audio branding, right? And so, so when it comes to finding your voice and owning it and being intentional to be consistent, Josh, like how, what tips do you have for people around that, finding their voice and maintaining consistency?
So I don't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
Sorry, Josh. I'm going to tee you up as well. I just wanted to throw this in here because it came to me while you're talking to,
we
talked about the visual aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Not in terms of the logo, but like yourself, the clothes that you wear, you know, the accessories that you wear, the car that you drive. Mm-hmm. These are all things, whether intentional or not, whether you purchase that or not, those glasses, those headphones, you're creating a brand and a visual representation of who you are, a statement, if you will, everyone that looks and perceives you as such, whatever it is, however they interpret it, it tells a story.
Absolutely.
It tells a story on who you are, why you made those decisions, where you land on certain things. So Josh, what about that?
Yeah, I want to give you two quick examples. Yeah. You at this point, I'm guessing you both know that on Podmax event days, I have a very specific uniform, if you will, from head to toe. Speaking of toe, what are on my toes? What do I wear every single Podmax event day?
Yes. Dirts and Cloud, or Cloud and Dirts.
Oh, that's right. The Gary V sneaks. Yeah.
I wear the Gary V sneaker. Why? Right? First of all, it's
no one sees it, for the record. virtually.
No, it's true.
So this is for yourself.
He knows.
Right.
It's absolutely
well, for the
true.
Listeners, for them to know, this is a virtual event. No one sees Josh's feet.
Yeah.
Right. So, no, and that's a very important point, because if I was, if I wore it, let's say every time I go on stage to give a keynote, that's a different story, right? It's like, okay, now there is you want to be represented visually, but I didn't even realize that. You're right. Nobody sees it. So it is a personal choice. So why am I wearing those sneakers, right? Because of one reason, the way they make me feel, right? And how did that happen? Because Gary has done a great job in his branding, showing up, getting his message out there in all sorts of ways consistently, where I relate to it, I feel good about it, I want to personally identify with it. I want, of course, nobody does see it, but even personally, if somebody should see it, I want to be related to that. I want to be connected. I want people to, it's almost like an underground language. I got to tell you, I've worn these sneakers out and about when we were able to, you know, more freely go out and about. And I've been to events in those sneakers and I just wait. And it happened only once, one time somebody looked down and said, "Yo, I love those sneakers." Just acknowledged it with me. And you want to hear the funniest thing? That person was also wearing the sneakers.
Whoa.
I was like, okay, this is perfect. This is so good. Right. So it's like that little thing. So you wear them for that reason. So backtracking, how does it happen? I'll give you my personal story as and with the brand, The Hidden Entrepreneur. Back a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, when I created it and was creating it, I didn't have a story of what that represented at that time. And I hear this often enough. People are like, "Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I have to wait to do this because I can't talk about my personal brand because I don't have one yet." Well, at that very moment, establishing The Hidden Entrepreneur, day one, my story was what it means to me in that moment, why I'm creating it, what I'm hoping to achieve, what I want to stand for, what I do stand for. And slowly but surely, I just started telling stories online and sharing thoughts and ideas around fear and hiding and overcoming and playing small and no longer and being inspired by my kids to do differently. Just all these things just sort of come into my being and they become part of my brand by communicating those stories. So the more that you can just share them in the moment, knowing that whatever is true to you in that moment is valid. In a week or a month or 6 months or a year, things might change, and they do. I don't tell some of the same stories I was telling years ago or even months ago, and that's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a cool thing, then, and I put this in the show notes plan, which I know you did not read for sure, is that...
That's part of my brand.
That's, you part know, of
exactly,
his brand.
Part of your brand, right, exactly. Your reputation precedes you. And so...
But you are correct.
Is that the idea of I think we've talked about this on previous episodes about being authentically yourself, right? Owning who you are and being authentic and showing up as yourself. But then there's also this idea of having a persona. And like Todd Herman has a book out called The Alter Ego Effect, right? And it's almost similar to what you, when you were talking about putting on the Gary Vee shoes, reminded me of that, is that it's like when an athlete puts on their jersey and it's game time, you know, and you step into this different type of personality. Now, I got to say, our shows are pretty much, if we were going live right now or not, this is kind of what we sound like when we're throwing it around. But like a lot of times people will have a different type of persona that they feel they need to kind of put on when they're in a professional state or when they're creating their content. And so what kind of tips do you have, Josh, do you think, when it comes to like balancing that like authenticity, but having a persona to be inside your brand?
I don't understand the question. I probably
should have read the notes.
I know. No, I know.
I'm only kidding.
Well, so,
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, but you go. Seriously, I really don't. I'm kidding, but no.
So the difference between like, let me show up every week and just be authentically myself versus like, I do want to remain consistent and sound, you know, and sound and be consistent all the time. So am I being fake if I'm trying to do that? Like, is this persona too fake, but I want to be real? What's in between there? What do you guys think?
I have an answer, Josh, if you want me to jump in here.
Thanks. Josh, you can just step aside if you want.
Yeah. I'm going to be...
This is why Josh and I are together. This is why we're married. I'll take it. Perfect example of this, Todd, is Gary Vee. We'll go back to him. Do you know the name of his kids?
Oh, no.
Do you know the name of his wife? He does not share those personal side, the personal side of his brand. Like, he's very, very open. Right, he's very candid. We all know him as such, but he doesn't share certain sides, and he decided that is his brand. He decided he will not share the personal side of Gary Vee, even though he's very transparent, open, and honest.
But here's the question, though.
Yeah.
If you're hanging out with Gary, is he any different than he is on what we see? And I would find it hard to believe because the camera's on the guy 23 hours a day. So
no, he's the same. I mean, I've been around him, and he is Gary behind the camera. He's Gary to his team. Actually, I would say a little more rough around the edges. Like, I saw a side of Gary that maybe he puts out there, but you don't see it as much. But the real Gary, where the short-tempered Gary, let's say. but yeah, I imagine that you know, celebrities come to mind, right? They put out a certain brand, and I often hear, you know, who comes to mind? This is old school, but what was the name of the comedian on what's that? John Stamper, Full House. Full House. The comedian.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget had
a great
very
example.
Great.
Brand, this is great. I like this topic. Yes.
And when I found out what he was and who he represents on stage,
he's filthy.
Filthy.
Yes. Go ahead.
Filthy. Yeah.
Two totally different people.
Yeah. Full House and the other one, America's Funniest Videos, right?
Yes.
He's the wholesome. He's America's
family guy.
He was the America's dad.
America's dad. But on stage, that guy was take Chris Rock times 100.
Yeah.
He was dirty. He was filthy. He was bluer than blue in his content, in his delivery. And everybody loved and respected that Bob Saget, too. So I wonder, question to you guys, How was that intentional? I have no idea. Or was that just an accident? He just, hey, I
think I know the story to this, and someone can fact check this, but I do believe it was accidental that he got the job on Full House and was like, what? Like, you know,
oh, like, and I have to be this like clean, wholesome,
right? Or like, you know, and I don't believe that it was intentional, but it just became part of it. But someone can fact check me on that for sure.
That's an interesting story. Yeah. But good examples, right?
Yeah.
So you're
and especially back then or even now, like a young comedian, you're trying to make, you know, just because you have a lot of stuff out in today's world on social or your popular jokes, like these guys are not making a lot of money. So they're all trying to get on TV shows. So, you know, he's probably out auditioning for whatever he can get. He lands a lead, the lead in a sitcom on TGIF. Like, this is it. Money's coming in, and it's like, wait, but it's, you know, it wasn't authentic to who he was. I would like to spend some time myself looking back into what the story is and how he feels and felt about that. So even psychologically, to be two different people like that.
So the question for us here is, to put it into this perspective, is how does somebody like us, how do we balance what our on camera or front and center brand is versus a truer, more authentic behind the scenes? And how do you balance it, and what's real and what's not?
I mean, I'll go first to give my tips would be that you should try to live intentionally. And this goes for kind of everything in life, but like live intentionally, and try to be who you are, who you want to be, become that person. But at the same time, like being true to yourself, because if you do have to act or pretend too much or at all, really, it's like the whole thing of like living a lie takes way more energy than it does to just live the truth, right? And so that's how I look at it, especially from a business perspective. If you're a performer, if you're a Bob Saget, like, do it. Like, you're getting paid however much money, like, to literally play a character on a show. You can be yourself when you're doing your stand-up on stage, but then, you know, yes, you could step into this character role, and honestly, I think it actually is pretty phenomenal that he's able to do both of those things. But when we're talking about creating content from a business sense and like in a business podcast, I think it is easier for everybody to just sit down, be intentional. What are the values I want to stay true to, and what do I want to sound like? And then start acting and being that way because it's who you are and who you want to become.
I perfectly agree. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
All right. Next topic.
but hold on before you move on, Todd. Yeah. I do want to point out, and yes, we are going to go long in this episode, folks, so you're in for a ride, in a treat. And what Josh, I think, you know, what we can sort of explore and expand on is the fact that when someone decides, I want a podcast, I want to create a brand, whether it's a personal brand or the corporate brand, the business brand, you have to put pen to paper and write down your story, your core values, who you are as a person, so that you can consistently, just like in a business, look at your core values on the wall, on the poster, on the wallpaper, where you can continue on that path and that story consistently, so that people get to know you, love you for those beats that are like, okay, I know what I'm going to get every time I open up this magazine. I know what I'm going to get every time I listen to this podcast. I'm getting Josh's story, 40 plus years in hiding. Right. You know, I want to hear that. I'm here for Josh and his brand and his story because I resonate with it.
Yeah. And we put together some great tips on episode 4 of season 2. You guys can get those at onairbrands.com/show, where we talked about how do you kind of catalog and create a library to keep in your pocket of good stories and examples and all that kind of stuff Josh, Eric just mentioned. So onairbrands.com/show to check that stuff out and get tips on actually cataloging your story library and things like that, so that you do have them easily accessible, readily practiced, and you can come off the top of the head conversationally with those types of things and still be consistent and authentic to yourself.
But then once that story is established, you know, which is what we work with our clients in this, once you identify the framework and the foundation for what you stand for and what message and what you want to deliver to people, then you can start on the visual. Then you can start on what's my culture? What's all this stuff going to be? It starts with you first. When we just to call this back a little over a year ago, when PodMax was in its infancy, still is, but when it's early days, 5 of us, the core of the team, sat at Renault, the winery, and we put pen to paper, literally took marker to whiteboard. And we wrote down all of our individual core values, and we distilled it into core values for the company. So that's everything that people have experienced, everything that everyone sees is what came to be from that meeting. It was probably our most important meeting at the time, true. Josh, until to date. You know, creating our core values.
And not to mention that, you know, I did invest in and gifted you a huge pack of markers for the whiteboard after that. So, you know, I'm just want to put that out there. Now, you know?
were we on your Dream 100?
Yeah.
Just admit it. That was the Dream 100.
No, the real story, it's a tangent real quick, is that I used so much of the marker in the office that it ran out of ink. And so when I got home, I went on Amazon and sent the whole pack
back. People know you love whiteboards.
Yeah, it's all behind me here. But all right, so you know, I think that's great. And defining core values, because when you do start to create a visual identity for your business, for your podcast, knowing that, you know, there are certain colors that associate with certain feelings and values, right? And so that can help dictate what direction that you want to go in. Okay, are we going to have a cartoony drawing of something, or do we want it to be a text-based, or do we, right? Like, I'm making these things up. I know nothing of branding, Eric. So, you know, please jump in and correct me where, you know, and take this. But it's that knowing what your core values are, those help drive and dictate what the visual identity will be, right? And so how do you kind of transition those things into the visual part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on their goals, right? The client wants to create a personal brand, easy, right? We all know the trend is, and I wouldn't say it's a trend, and it's really a recommendation, is to have your face on the podcast cover art. I mean, you have to show people that who you are, your energy, what they can expect when they step into your brand and your show. So we always recommend that people use their
face. I got to call us out. Yeah. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but neither of us have our pictures on our
very true
podcast.
You're talking about On Air Brands and PodMax?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true, because we're representing, I guess, the corporate brand or the business brand. But yeah, for personal brands, absolutely 100%. I mean, you can see behind me, we got Josh Carey's. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. Hidden entrepreneur.
Well, there.
I should only hope that the creative, deliberate take is evident there with it's the back. So my face.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
My face is, wait for it, hidden.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, see, very deliberate and intentional. We know, and you get it, you know. But
my backside is great.
yeah, you know, you didn't do all those squats for nothing.
I gotta leave.
I love every time he wears that shirt. By the way, I'm like, hey, you're wearing the shirt. That's famous.
It's like when I was at your house. With the
two of you dressed alike, that was great. But that was funny. So yeah, really, really quick behind the scenes, we all got gathered, and it was clients, friends, partners, all at my house. Todd and Josh, I think it was the first time we ever met Todd.
It was the first time
in person. And you guys
Josh
were dressed.
And I had met at Propelify.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the rain.
You guys in the tent were dressed exactly alike. You had the same button down, untucked jeans.
Yeah. Right. Checkered, plaid.
Our personal brands lined up. You know.
Same color scheme. Yeah. Like yep. You're finishing
each other's sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sharing a bowl of spaghetti.
It was amazing. Yeah. At what point, let's say, like, you know, personal brands definitely have a picture or vision or personal identity into it, right? And so, but when you're representing a business or a company, not so much, right? And so you do want to be, because we do have a rotating group of people. And if you have a company, you're going to have multiple people in the business who are out mm-hmm. doing different yeah. things, right? And so, mm-hmm. and also I think it does get a little awkward. Like, do people at VaynerMedia walk around with like Gary Vee t-shirts? Like, you know, is that a little weird when like, you know, it gets to that point? But, yeah. But
is
you know,
that like I wearing a band shirt when you go to
their concert? Yeah.
When did that become unacceptable, by the way? That was a cool thing when I was growing up. And then I did it recently, I don't know, like 10 years ago, and everybody yelled at me.
It's unacceptable?
It is.
Very unacceptable, yeah.
Oh, because I just did it at the Weird Al Yankovic concert. I'm looking. This is not going to end well.
Little private callback, folks.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's good stuff. But you know, from a surface level, and I know we don't have that much time, Todd, but yeah, branding from a cover art perspective, highly recommend using your photo or and your co-host if you have one. You know, creating some type of logo and identity that could live on its own, you know, so good example, you know, friends of ours, the Real Estate Invest Her show, you know, there's two co-hosts there, but now they've built a massive community. They created a brand and a mark that they proudly wear on their shirts, on their mugs, on their desktops, whatever it is, it's identifiable.
And for the unfamiliar, what's a mark?
A mark it's a brand. It's a logo. It's the and then the
we're, it's like but the it's, icon. It's like the it's, icon.
It's the icon and the logo. So a logo could be anything from an icon like the Nike swoosh and a descriptor, which, you know, Nike, the name of it. You can get to the point where your brand becomes so established and well known that the icon, the Apple or the Nike swoosh, can live on its own without the descriptor underneath. So that's when you get to the next level, right? When people recognize it. But, you know, I'm old school. I always like to design logos that if you're driving down the highway, the New Jersey Turnpike, at 65 miles an hour, going the speed limit.
What are you, on the shoulder?
You're intimidating somebody, I guarantee you. But yeah, the logo is recognizable on a billboard when you can see it in a flash. You know what it is, I'm hungry. Now, I had to stop at ShopRite for something. So that's the best mark. I always appreciate people who can design a logo that fits on the head of a dime, or now it's the icon on a Facebook page, on an Instagram page. It's tiny. On a phone, it's tiny, and it's recognizable and legible, and also can live large enough when driving quickly in your Tesla, you can recognize it.
And so some tips for people who are getting their logo designed. I like this idea, and I think it's something that gets overlooked. It needs to be very visible and memorable, very small, and be able to scale and be visual very large. And so that usually means it should be very simple, right? And I think what I see, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I would call this a mistake in a lot of logo designs, particularly for solopreneurs and small businesses who don't know better, is that they get these very complex looking icon drawings, right, of their, and it doesn't quite work when it's super small, you know, like.
Or embroidered. So that's another indication of a great logo. If you take your logo and you go, I'm going to go make some hats and t-shirts and jackets with this, and the person, the embroidery expert, says, oh, this doesn't work, man. I'm sorry. You probably have a bad logo.
Yeah. I think that's very true. And I think about that too, especially in today's world of on-demand printing where, you know, you can get stuff. What's our link for the merch if you guys want to buy our merch?
Josh knows.
Yeah.
Construction. You remember? No, you remember it's under construction.
Oh, look at that. Podmax.co/gear.
It is there. But now it will hold you accountable, Josh. That's got to work.
Better get fixed.
It's not. It's not working.
Just fix it before we go live with this episode.
Wait, we are live.
Oh, well.
My brand can't fix it right now.
But, you know, to be able to have something that does look good when it's printed, you don't want to have that to be an issue, right? I think that's definitely huge. And you talked about some obviously iconic, classic, legendary examples of the Nike swoosh. So, and on this topic, so the Nike swoosh, the Apple, but then the Starbucks lady is pretty complicated. So how do they make that work?
That's a good one. If you look that up, if you Google that, watch the evolution of that icon. Because clearly when they designed it, you know, 100 years ago, they were not thinking in these terms.
Well, same thing with the original Apple logo. If you look
very
at that.
Very true. Yeah, that is very true. But that didn't live long. That quickly got updated.
Yeah.
But the Starbucks logo stayed true to the roots, but made it super simple.
Simpler, right?
Really simple. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a perfect page, you know, to sort of just follow that model and see now what's trended. I mean, even go back and look at McDonald's or Burger King and how they've updated. And everything went to the simple, like you said, print friendly, digital friendly now, where it's a necessity because people have to have some sort of versatility when you're using your logo. Cause you never know. Here's the interesting take on it. Because we meaning the design world, didn't anticipate digital, right? We didn't anticipate the web. Cause remember when GeoCities and AOL and we thought brochures and newsletters was what we should use websites for. Right. And then we started to see that, graphics are becoming more prevalent. Now we can start to stretch our muscles. Right. And then we had to adapt into designing for the digital space. Now here's an interesting topic is, now we're going to start to evolve and are evolving into the audio space. right? So technology is allowing
Segway
us to
King
now
right there. That was very nice.
We're starting to move into audible and voice technology, where how do we start to represent our brand in an audio space? So one thing that I do want to bring up here, and Todd, you've hinted at it here, is the Sonic brand.
Yes, Sonic. Right? That's the word.
The
I was
Sonic
for,
brand is powerful. And this, if anyone who stayed, you're getting the pearl and the prize right here, because we at On Air Brands have created a Sonic brand for our show. We haven't launched it yet, but there is something. And anyone who's wondering what that means, you all know what Netflix is.
That's exactly
what
I was going to bring up.
Experienced Netflix. When you turn Netflix on, what do you hear? Let's do it all together.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. My daughters, who are 4 and 1.5, when they start Netflix on Apple TV, both of them, dun-dun.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't HBO also have one? The
show. Yeah. Oh, go back to that, the theme song back.
Yeah, I also
remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a great
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's right.
Where, like, the HBO would come into the space.
Yep. Yeah, the camera goes through that little fake city.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so, and in today's world with podcasts, and we're talking to podcasters now, like, this is key. Like, you know, when we start this show, the On Air Brand Show, we have our little Sonic intro, right? And that sound is at the beginning of every episode, right? That's how we identify with that sound. You guys just released for the PodMax podcast a couple different segment transitions that are visual for the video show, but also audio, right? And audio branding, I think, is going to be a very large industry it's very, you know, emerging and up and coming now more for sure because of the rise of podcasts. And so, you know, but I want to circle back because we did with the visual stuff, but let's continue this audio for now. Is what are some tips that you have in the audio branding, in the Sonic?
So when you're designing sounds for your podcast, I would highly recommend you try to stay away as much as you can from things on Fiverr, from things from, you know, sites like Envato or, you know,
the stock stuff.
It's the stock stuff that most likely, if it's free, everyone's using it. So you have to sort of,
even if you pay for it, if it's in a stock library, if you're paying $10.
So, and I know, right, we got our audio engineer in the background here, and he's, you know, I'm sure chomping at the bit to add to this, and feel free to if you want to, Rob, but the thing is, here I recommend, if you're going to go that route, purchase something that isn't cheap, you know, north of $50 to $100 for something. But then when you get it, you have to change. You have to alter it. Yeah. You have to do something to make it your own.
Tweak it a little bit.
Someone is inevitably going to take it and either use it as the stock was or maybe change it on their own. But yeah, create something unique, just like what we do with logos. We try to modify something, create something that doesn't exist. It's hard, but if you put the work in, it's well worth it, because if you do have legs, if you do have success, which we plan to be successful in our brands and our businesses, you need to have something that you own, that's trademarked, that's royal, it's proprietary.
Right.
So we've created something, and I'll reveal here the On Air Brand Sonic brand that you're going to hear on this show and everything else that we do is unique to us, because we've used the OAB, the notes on the piano keys, to create our brand, very much like Netflix.
Very clever.
Intel, PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know, these are all Sonic brands that if you don't see a thing, but if you hear it, you get a feeling and you know who it is and why you're there and you want to consume it. So that's, I think, going to be the next level, Todd.
Question about this. We're talking about this. What category does this fall under? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That's Sonic branding.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
McDonald's.
Yeah. Is that a theme song? Is that a form of a logo? Is it a Sonic brand? What is it?
I think it falls under the Sonic brand category.
Yeah. At this point, it almost Jingles. Does, but I wonder. Jingle. Oh yeah, yeah. Jingle.
Jingle.
But
Jingle. Right. Yeah.
I don't think they entered. Menon. Oh, by Menon. Yeah, you're dating yourself, my man.
But I'm talking to the right guys. At least one guy.
I know it.
I can't imagine that the McDonald's people went into that creation thinking about a Sonic brand, right? I'm sure it has more legs than they ever could have imagined. Right? Yeah. They probably just thought, let's test this as like a jingle.
Yeah.
Right? Because now, actually, I heard a commercial like very recently, how they used it was subtle. It was almost like somebody like whispering it at the very end of the commercial, just like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And I was like, wow, that was a very interesting now.
Yeah.
So they're sort of segueing and transitioning and keeping
we have any connections to the McDonald's marketing department, it would be great to get them on the show and talk about this. But this is something we talk about where we talk about coming up with ideas, riffing on social media to kind of clarify and, you know, articulate your stuff and then putting it out in a more official capacity when it gets legs or traction. Maybe that's what happened here. You know, they had a little jingle for like, okay, what's the jingle going to be on our commercials for next quarter?
Right.
Oh yeah. This is a good one. Let's do that. Oh, it seems to be picking up steam. Let's keep it for next quarter. Let's keep it for next. Okay. Now, every time they do something, it's got just that first part of it.
Yeah.
I think jingles were at a time when we were growing up, especially that was the Sonic brand. They didn't call it Sonic branding.
Yeah.
Sonic branding has evolved to something quick, something, right. Something that you recognize within seconds.
Yeah.
But jingles, I think, that's probably like we were saying here, Josh, it's its own category, right?
Yeah. Right.
Where, you know, like I think about all the jingles that gives me the feels, you know, like
I'm a pepper, you're a pepper.
Pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Or you know, I'm a Toys R Us kid. We got that whole theme song was massive growing up.
Jeffrey.
I mean, what about you know, how powerful is it for sports teams to own a jingle and a song and a theme song? You know, our friend Jesse Itzler, he, I don't know if you guys know this, created the New York, go New York, go the New York Knicks.
No, is that right?
Yeah, he wrote that. So and made a lot of money.
Oh, nice. Now he owns the Hawks, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah, you're right.
What about
I didn't know he wrote that. That's good to know. Yeah. All right.
What about the Chicago Bears, the Super Bowl Shuffle back in the 80s?
Oh, jeez.
With those Refrigerator Perry.
Now we're just off the roll. Now we're just talking about songs here, guys.
Refrigerator Perry. remember Refrigerator Perry?
Yeah, who does?
Talk about branding. Come on. Yeah. It's tied in.
Yeah, well, you know, and that brings up, you know, so on the Podmax show today, Josh, you mentioned, and for our listeners, if you're not subscribed to our other, do we call this sister show, brother show? What is, or just sibling show?
Sibling show, to be correct here. It's a great question. You
know, yeah. So our sibling show Podmax, where these guys talk about the news and trends and all that kind of good stuff in the podcasting world. At the end, when we teased today's episode of this show, Josh mentioned how my daughters, when we post pictures of them on social media, my wife uses hashtag Tay of the Day for Taylor and hashtag The Daily Haley for Haley. And this happened very much by accident, but it was very fascinating as an entrepreneur and marketer to see this happen when we had our first daughter and my wife started posting pictures of Taylor and she just, whatever, one day randomly just uses hashtag Tay the Day. It rhymes. It can't, you know, rolled off the tongue / fingers there and it became a thing. And then people started commenting and then more and more people were engaging with just pictures. Now we're talking about just personal family stuff. This isn't business, but it shows how human behavior works, where when you do put a label, a brand on something and make it consistent, people start to look out for it and engage with it more. And then we started seeing people and be like, oh, I love the Tay of the Day. I love the Daily Haley. Like, and it became a thing. And the first time someone said that to me in my head, I was like, whoa, this is like a brand. We made like a brand for our daughter in like in our friends and family circles. So Refrigerator Perry had that name. Like when you make this like unique little label and brand something, people grab a hold of that and it makes you more memorable when you have it.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, that comes to just how you name your show kind of thing, which is something we talked about in a previous episode. So you can check that out at onairbrands.com/show. But let's kind of circle back and recap some actionable, practical things here. So when someone's coming up with a brand for their podcast and for their business, you know, we want them to make sure, one, they know what their core values are and what their main message and mission are going to be, because that's going to help drive and dictate what they look like, how they dress, how they sound, how they speak, and all that kind of stuff, right? And then, Eric, you talked about the visual side of things for the logo. So from a visual for the mark, the icon, that logo aspect. We want it to be simple so that it's memorable and easy to see and recognize when it's very small in a thumbnail on your phone, and also when it's scaled up and it's the size of a billboard, and also when it's imprinted or embroidered on a hat or on a sweatshirt, or if it's on the back rubber sole of a sneaker, right? It's something that needs to work large and small and still be memorable and have an impact on people. What do we talk about? Like, colors is a common thing people think about with branding too. And we didn't talk about that yet here. So what's your take on colors, and how do values play a role? Because I know it's, you know, when things are passionate, they should be red, or if they want to be calm and cool and corporate, it should be like a bluish. Like, does that stuff matter? Is that just arbitrary?
Yes, no. So when we go deep dives into, you know, clients, brands, we do what we do, what we call is a color exploration and competitive analysis. So that goes along with font usage, colors, everything that, you know, represents the brand from a visual perspective. So if you really, I mean, I don't want anyone to hear all this information and then, you know, get analysis by paralysis.
Mm, yeah.
So,
for sure.
So, but this is what happens when, you know, gigantic companies who have marketing budgets invest six figures and above in branding. And this is what I'm specifically talking about. But we analyze people in the space, right? And we actually have a client right now in this self-storage space where we looked at, you know, the Publix and the Cubix or whatever their names are, mm-hmm. all the brands, and we...
No free advertising for the competition here.
Exactly. I think I made those up, by the way. But yeah. we show...
I think
color
it's a grocery
swatches,
store, actually.
And then we.
I know. In this,
I'm like, I kind of did that subconsciously. I didn't. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But anyway,
Publix and Cubix.
Poor branding.
What you'll see in this analysis is a color wheel, the color spectrum, and all the dots where the competition lives. And usually, we recommend that, hey, if you want to create a brand that's different and distinguished from the others, is you live in this space, in the purples and the golds versus the blues and the reds and the greens. So there's sort of the things, but you don't have to do that when developing a personal brand. Choose the colors you like.
Yeah. If I'm
things
just like,
that
hey,
resonate
I look
with
good
you.
In blue, I'm getting blue as my
yeah,
color.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm this. I'm sassy. You know, I want to use magenta. You know, whatever it is, I want something bold. So I'm going to use this. So yeah, choose the colors that you know. I highly recommend using a designer. Hire someone who knows what they're doing, because in this way, you're not getting something that, you know, in the long run is not going to have legs. You're not, you know, the colors are clashing. People are turned off by it. Mm-hmm. You know, the fonts don't translate on the social space. Just hire a designer that knows what they're doing, that has some experience, and you'll be on the right path.
Can you pull the curtain back for a minute and just take a minute or so? Why did you land on black and white for On Air Brands and gold for PodMax?
Oh, I love that. So those who are fans and know On Air Brands from the 2018 days, it was blue and tan. And the look back then was retro, right? We pop art retro. It spoke to the audience then. When we started to, when PodMax was born, it started to get into the sexy rock star luxury space, right? Because our clientele was spending and investing, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a pop with us. So we're talking to a very specific audience there. So it had to speak of luxury. So that's why we went black. That's why we went sleek. And then Honor Brands followed suit with PodMax because they were going to live together always. So the retro blues and sepia didn't work anymore.
Wow.
So that's why it moved into the polished stainless steel, you know, rock star sort of space. And yeah, thanks for that question. I don't think we've ever talked about that.
And then PodMax as gold was just a follow-up to that. You're like, okay, what's another powerful, luxurious?
Well, PodMax was first. So PodMax brand was developed as this gold brand and black, right? Classic. And then On Air Brands lived with it and just went gray and eventually evolved into silver.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually evolved into like a, you know, brushed stainless steel. And then we had to go back and rebrand, which I recommend anyone who has a brand and hasn't updated in 3, 4, 5 years, I recommend always refreshing your brand at least 3 to 4 to 5 years.
Really?
I mean, some brands don't do it for decades, and you could tell. But yeah, well, that's what we refreshed everything. And another little tidbit here, Todd, is if and when you start to develop enough assets and you want consistency, create brand guidelines, whether mm-hmm. it's one page, two page, three pages. Make sure you hire a designer that understands what that means. And hashtags and hashtag usage, emojis, all that stuff is in our brand guidelines, so that this way anyone who touches your brand is consistent with your brand on the creative side.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. I'm actually surprised we didn't bring it up until now on being so important. I think it's almost like that should be the steps that people go through is basically thinking of how do I create this style guide so that anyone who does do work and represent our company knows exactly mm-hmm. how to act, behave, show, speak, what emojis to use, you know, that stuff is real. And that's how a brand creates a reputation, is by acting consistently in a familiar way. And when you don't do that, you leave it up to, you know, you leave it up to anybody to decide how they want to think about you and how, you know, how they're going to perceive you. And that's the importance and power of having an intentional brand, of thinking through core values, what you want to look like, what your digital dress code is going to be, what kind of emojis are okay. As silly as that sounds, that's legit. If you're posting on social, do you use emojis, and which ones are okay and which ones aren't, right? What kind of hashtags do you use? And being intentional. I actually wrote this down on my own, call this my personal brand mission here. I wrote this down a couple of days ago, is that I want to be intentional, take action, and have fun. And like, that's like my core value, so to speak, mission that I want to keep reminding myself every day to do that. Be intentional, take action, have fun, and then drive out of that. And so when you kind of decide those things, then you figure out, okay, here's the things that I'm going to do. Here's how we're going to act. And that's how you create the reputation that precedes you, versus just letting someone arbitrarily see something of yours and decide what they want to think, mm-hmm. right? It's trying your best to drive intention behind how people perceive you. And then once you do have a community of customers, employees, a lot of people around your business, then it's the culture. How are they acting together? How do they interact? How do they represent to the world what it is that you mean? And so back to the original definition, how we started this episode, is what is a brand? It's your reputation, and it's the culture of the people that you interact with.
Can I add one thing that I didn't mention? Much in here. This could be a masterclass in and of itself.
Oh, for sure.
And we should chop this all up or do this again intentionally with 4 episodes. But here's the cool thing too, for those at this level, is when you create a company, your brand is also every single touch point that your client or customer experiences, whether it's emails, whether it's texting, whether it's in-store experience, mm-hmm. touching your product, interacting with your staff. That is all brand. You have to ensure that people are experiencing what you want them to experience in every piece of communication that they either touch, see, or feel.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's a great way to wrap the episode. Guys, thank you so much, Eric, for lending your expertise, and Josh for coming along the ride with me as we gave the wheel to Eric to really drop a lot of bombs today. So much value in this. Definitely going to have to re-listen a couple times and take notes for myself. If you're not subscribed yet, please subscribe. If you have friends or colleagues that need some branding tips, please share this episode with them. You can get the episode links at onairbrands.com/show. Make sure you're also subscribed to Eric and Josh at the Podmax show. And we will catch you next week, Wednesday at noon, or in your favorite podcast player. See you guys next week.
Tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.